the second day, God created the waters above and the waters below. So today, we consider the waters of the earth. We remember that although 75% of the earth is covered with water, only 2.5% is fresh water. And of that 2.5%, only 1% is available to the ecosystems and the organisms of Earth. Only 1% is fresh water available to sustain life. With climate change, the wet places get wetter, the dry places get drier, the storm patterns shift from the equator out toward the poles. The rainfall patterns worldwide are changing. The number of days with extreme precipitation are increasing. In other words, more precipitation comes down to Earth in extreme downpours. Last month, the Washington Post reported the comments of the United Nations General Secretary General Antonio Guterres. As you know, there's 7.5 billion people on the earth. The Secretary General reports 2 billion of these people lack access to safe drinking water. 3 billion are already affected by water scarcity. The scarcity of safe drinking water is a worldwide problem. On the Arabian Peninsula, 40 years ago, there was a large underground aquifer. It was so large, it was as big as Lake Erie. But now, 4/5 of that aquifer are depleted. Cape Town in South Africa. It's expected to run out of water by July. They were expecting to run out in April, but due to conservation measures, they have delayed the disaster by a few months. And in Cape Town, as in many places with water problems, the rich have more options for dealing with the water problems than do the poor. Right here in the Great Lakes State, we suffer lead poisoning in Flint, algae blooms in Lake Erie, water system failures in Bay City, frozen cast iron pipes in our northern counties, flash floods in Metro Detroit, an oil spill in the Kalamazoo River, zebra mussel invasions, wetland loss, agricultural pollutants in Bentonville Wells, plastic particles, and prescription drugs that pass through water treatment plants. And a giant old oil pipeline that runs right under the Straits of Mackinac. When it comes to water, we can name the problems. We confess our shared societal sins. A couple of years ago, Pastor Louise and I were invited to a workshop at the Samaritan Counseling Center. Well, at least it was hosted by them. I think it was in one of the churches. The workshop was about ministering to suicidal depression. The presenter shared that he is a second day person. I did not know what he meant by that, so he explained. If people struggle with suicide and manage to avoid committing suicide and get through to the next day, to the second day. They sometimes refer to themselves as second day people. I was fascinated by that idea. And since I mentioned suicide, I will remind you all once again that you should think of three safe people you would tell if you ever felt suicidal. Think of three people right now. Keep your list in your mind or on a piece of paper. And if you ever feel suicidal, you tell those three people, ask for help. If you don't get the help you need, tell three more people. If you can't think of three people, please put my name on your list. Put Pastor Louise's name on your list. Put the name of someone in this congregation on your list. If we struggle with suicide, I think we struggle with a lack of hope and a lack of meaningful or helpful connections. When we think about climate change, misuse of water, racial injustice, poverty, and on and on and on, we might also struggle with a lack of hope. We might feel we have broken connections to each other, to Earth, to God. But somehow we have to go on to another day. Take hold of our second chance. Now, not later. We can start by repenting for all that's wrong. Our sins, our complacency, the ways we have wasted. If we fail to repent, we might be like those disciples who were sitting behind closed doors, afraid. We might fail to see Christ among us. We might fail to hear those words, "Peace be with you." By the way, back in the time of Jesus, that phrase, "peace be with you," it did not mean have a nice, quiet, boring, uneventful life. That's not what it meant. No, "peace be with you" was much more. "Peace be with you" meant more like have a wonderful, grand life, a life of meaning, a life of good, of doing good. When we repent and accept those words, "peace be with you," God sends us out into the world to do God's work. We receive the Holy Spirit, and we can even forgive sins. This past week, on April 4th, we remembered the 50th anniversary of the murder of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. As we remember the evening of his death, we remember he was in Memphis, Tennessee, advocating for sanitation workers. This past week, the president of the Ecumenical Theological Seminary here in Detroit, the Reverend Dr. Kenneth Harris, sent out a commemorative email on April 4th to all the students and alumni of the seminary. And in his email, he asked a provoking question. He asked, "Sanitation workers? Who cares?" And then he answered his own question, "Jesus cares! The prophets and the people of God care. All people of goodwill care." One of the key events that brought the Reverend Dr. King to Memphis was the deaths of two sanitation workers. And I'm going to pronounce their names out loud, best of my ability. Echo Cole and Robert Walker. Back then in the city of Memphis, they did not allow black employees to come in out of the rain. So when the rain came pouring down, Mr. Cole and Mr. Walker sought shelter in the back of their compressor truck with the garbage. As the rain came tumbling down, the truck malfunctioned, and the two men were crushed to death. Crushed to death, not so much by mechanical failure as by a failure of justice. 50 years after the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., 50 years after E. Cole Cole and Robert Walker, we are living with a Jim Crow prison system. We have white supremacists, gun violence, and a disproportionately higher number of gun deaths among African Americans. When the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was murdered in 1968, he was laying the foundation for the Poor People's Campaign. Because we want to remember this, we invited Reverend Edward Pinckney to this church to tell us more about the Resurrected Poor People's Campaign, a national moral revival. Reverend Pinckney will preach here on Sunday, April 29th. He will also lead a conversation. I hope many of us will come that day to hear what he has to say. To honor Dr. King, Mr. Cole, Mr. Walker, and many others who have died on the journey to redeem the soul of this nation, we must hold on to the dream that equality and freedom and even peace will prevail. We must hold on to the belief that God leads us to a just world for all. We must hold on to the hope that our efforts can create the needed change, because this is what it means to be Easter people. We do not hide in fear. We hold on to the dream. We hear and live. Peace be with you. As we repent for water misuse, climate change, racial injustice, and poverty, I pray for a second day, a second chance for all of us. My dear siblings in Christ, may we repent, name our problems, ask for forgiveness, and ask each other for help when we need it. I don't want to be a disciple cowering behind closed doors without peace and without hope. I would much rather be a second-day person on a journey with Easter people. I forgive your sins, so they are forgiven. Can you forgive mine? If you forgive me, I too am forgiven. And we have all the hope we need. Peace be with you. Amen. Yes.